Welcome to this Tuesday edition of What Matters in North Carolina. My name is Mark Shiver, and we're going to go down to Charlotte and talk about some controversy going on down there that's made the newspaper a couple of times. An organization called Cities for Life has been dealing with the folks in the Charlotte city government related to their right to have freedom of speech and protest what is one of the busiest, if not the busiest, abortion clinics in the entire Southeast. And so we'll find out what's been going on Latrobe Street, which is in East Charlotte, in front of the Preferred Women's Health Center. And folks that are tired of the protesters, tired of choice. It's funny, they say, oh, we're pro-choice. As long as the choice is not having the child, right? If the choice is killing an unborn baby, yeah, we're all for pro-choice. But if keeping a child alive and allowing it to be born, whether it's raised by the parent or given up for adoption, that's not a choice. We're not pro-choice when that's on the table. So kind of a little bit of talking out of both sides of the mouth there. But anyway, I digress. We're going to talk with Daniel Parks, Executive Director of Cities for Life in Charlotte. They've had some interesting challenges, as it were, in trying to just present that choice to women who are going into this busy, busy abortion mill and say, hey, you know what? You don't have to kill your child. They have a mobile RV that provides ultrasounds. And sometimes these women come in there and all of a sudden they see their baby in their womb and they're like, whoa, I'm not killing my child. And so people that don't like that have begun to engage the city. And as you know, government overreach is not something that we're real fond of. And so we're going to talk with Daniel Parks and find out what's going on down there in Charlotte. Thank you so much for listening. Hope you enjoyed yesterday's program with Representative Chris Millis. If you missed that, go ahead and catch up. You can do that. Go to freedomactionnetwork.com and download it, or in the iTunes and Google Play stores. He's talking about his bill. You know, we're right here in the middle of March Madness and basketball, and my bracket looks like it's been shredded a shredder. But he had a bill, or has a bill, that we'll see how it goes, that would basically look into, or at least ask the leadership of the General Assembly to look into, whether or not the NCAA and the ACC have violated their tax-exempt status by bullying North Carolina and moving games and getting political. And, you know, there's certain parameters when you have a tax-exempt organization that you have to abide by. And so very interesting conversation with Representative Chris Millis yesterday. If you did not hear that, then feel free to do so today at your leisure. And tell somebody about it, too. He's a really good representative, and we've had him on the show before. Always does a great job. Without any further ado, let's talk with Daniel Parks, the Executive Director of Cities for Life in Charlotte, here on What Matters in North Carolina. Joining us now on What Matters in North Carolina is Daniel Parks. He is the Executive Director of an organization called Cities for Life in Charlotte. And Daniel, welcome to the program, sir.
Yes, glad to be on.
We have recently spoken, I don't know if you know Tanya Baker Nelson, but she's with a ministry here in Raleigh called Hands of Hope Pregnancy Resource Center. And they had some interesting challenges with the city of Raleigh regarding zoning. And when I was reading about your organization there in Charlotte having some challenges with the city potentially as well, I thought that it would be good to talk to you and find out what's going on down there in Charlotte. So thank you for agreeing to be our guest today.
Yes, yes. And I've actually heard about the situation there with the pregnancy center you're talking about. I don't know the director of that center personally, but I've heard some of the incident and what's going on with they were trying to put a pregnancy center next to a clinic, an abortion clinic that's there. Is that right?
Yeah, they actually have bought the building, and the folks in the Raleigh City Council have zoned them out, and so they're not able to occupy that particular facility. But I think there's some litigation going on, so perhaps we haven't heard the last word about that. But
yeah,
you guys, I think, are as I've been reading in preparation for our time together, I think you guys are a little bit more active in terms of your protesting. And I wanted to find out, first of all, if you could just share with our listeners a little bit about Cities for Life, your history, and the things that you're involved in the pro-life movement.
Okay. Well, one of the first things that we'll tell you and our volunteers will tell you right away, I mean, according to the city and the way they view things, and maybe even the police department and others looking from the outside looking in, but we're anything but a protest. Our heart is to be a gospel presence at the abortion clinics here in Charlotte. And, you know, we're there. We do use some signage and things like that, but we're not necessarily protesting. We are proclaiming life at those places of death. And that's really the heart of Cities for Life, actually four P's that our founders kind of really came up with to explain who we are as a ministry. So that would be protect, pray, proclaim, and provide. And that's really our heart for these moms and these babies that we encounter at the abortion clinic, is to protect life and to pray for God to bring it into abortion, and then to proclaim the truth of the gospel, and then to provide for these families in need. The women come to an abortion clinic for reasons. They've got things they're struggling with, and we'd like to try to meet those needs as best we can. Really, the model of our ministry comes right out of Luke chapter 10 in the parable of the Good Samaritan. And some of you hopefully know the story. There was a man who was going from Jerusalem to Jericho. It says he was attacked by robbers. They beat him and left him half dead and naked in the ditch. And some religious people passed by, a Levite and a priest passed by on the other side. And then a Samaritan comes along and sees the man in the ditch, goes to the ditch, gets the man out of the ditch, cleans his wounds off, and takes him to an inn. And that's really the way that we see what we do. We've taken time out of our busy schedules. Our volunteers take time out of their busy schedules to go to the ditches in our society, which are the abortion clinics. And really, in our case, what we're dealing with is two people in a ditch, mom and baby. We want to go and get her out of that ditch, clean off her wounds as best we can, put her on our animal like the Samaritan did, and take her to an inn. So if she needs a place to stay, if she needs clothing, food, prenatal care, all these different aspects of providing, we like to try to meet those needs. So that's kind of a little bit of who we are and what we're all about.
Well, that certainly is interesting. And one thing that you said that I've frankly never heard before, and that is using the word mom to describe these women who are pregnant. I don't think I've done a lot of interviews with pro-life folks, but you're the first one that I've heard use that. And I find that interesting because most of the time that word never even gets said, you know, referring to a woman who may be about to have an abortion or considering that decision. So I think that's powerful.
I mean, that's the way we should view a pregnant lady. She's a mom. She's the mother of the child that she carries, whether she wants to keep the child or not. She's still the child's mother. And that's a reality that many of these ladies, they carry it with them anyway. I mean, they know, you don't have to tell them that they're the mother of the child. There's just a lot of lies that have been told to them that, you know, they kind of, in their hearts and minds, let them kind of push that to the side and get through with an abortion in spite of the fact that they know that they're the mother of that child.
I was reading in the Charlotte Observer about, this is almost kind of comical, but the race to the noise permits that happens every night. It's you guys and those that are in favor of abortion pounding out emails,
yeah,
trying to be first to be able to get a noise permit. Is that a realistic portrayal in this story? I don't know if you've seen it or not, but it says that...
Yes, I've read the article. In one sense, it's a realistic portrayal. To imagine that's actually news kind of made me scratch my head and wonder,
yeah,
wow, this is really a news story, you know? But they apparently wanted to make a news story out of it, and they did. But, yeah, we do have to get a permit because we use amplified sound out there so that we can actually be heard. And So we do have to get an amplified sound permit every day that we're out there. We're out there 6 days a week. So we apply for one for every day. You have to apply a week in advance, no sooner than a week in advance. And so we do right at midnight, because in the past we didn't do that. In the past we just applied for it, you know, whenever it was, you know, on that day that, you know, 7 days before we'd apply. But then we started realizing we were losing the permits. The abortion clinic itself was getting the permits, or the quote pro-choice people that are out there were getting the permits in their names, not for the sake of using them, but for the sake of keeping us from using them. So they'd get the sound permit to make sure we didn't have the amplified sound. So there is, in a real sense, I guess you could say, a battle. To imagine that would be a news story was kind of, like I said, it made me wonder what else. I mean, do they have other things more important to report on? Apparently not. But
well, it's interesting because the lady, I guess, who gives out the permits or decides, they have to look at the timestamp. And she was quoted as saying, you can timestamp it to the millisecond. So whichever one of the groups has the fastest send button, I reckon, is what it comes down to. But you're right. That is kind of a silly story. But what is interesting to me is the tie in between your group and this group here in Raleigh that we were talking about, the city getting involved in keeping them from doing, you know, the work that they feel called to do through zoning. And I was reading in another article that apparently the city might designate, I believe it's Latrobe Street there in East Charlotte, with no parking zones, which would keep you from putting your RV on the street in which you provide resources for pregnant mothers, pregnant women who have decided maybe not to go inside the clinic, but agree to talk to you. Okay. Talk about the no possibility of no parking signs.
Okay. Yeah. So recently, let's see, in the past 6 or 7 months, our ministry's been going since 2008, and there have been others who included myself before Cities for Life even got started that were going out there. You know, I've been going out there at the busiest abortion clinic in Charlotte for about 12 years now, with me and my family reaching out and trying to offer these women another option. So that being said, just recently, in about the past 6 or 7 months, there's been another group that has risen up to basically combat what we're doing, to counter protesters, so to speak. They're out there to be a hindrance to what we're trying to do to support the clinic. And so those folks have apparently just bothered the city council and the mayor, and apparently with some of the city council, well, actually not apparently, for sure, some of the city council members are on board with these people. As a matter of fact, Julie Eislet, who is city council at large, was actually out about 3 weeks ago with those pro-choice people, you know, basically standing with them, and that was kind of odd. But so we've been out there on Latrobe Drive at least since 2008, doing what we're doing with the mobile ultrasound unit parked on the side of the road. The road is probably, I mean, I can't say exactly how wide it is, but I can say this. You can park on each side of that road, and you can almost drive with cars parked on each side of that road. You can almost drive two Mack trucks side by side.
Wow.
So it's plenty wide. The width is not the problem. There's never been a traffic issue, never been a, you know, anything remotely close to a traffic accident out there that, you know, would be helped with no parking signs. But I heard recently from CMPD and from others, the pro-abortion people in particular, told me, hey, we're going to get no parking signs placed out here. And then Charlotte Police Department told me just 2 weeks ago that, you know, in fact, it was in motion to put no parking signs along that street, which to me was nothing but them singling us out and really just trying to put a damper on what we're doing. Because for the past, you know, 12 years, I've been going out there. In the past, you know, almost 8 years since our ministry has been going out there, there's not been a problem until now, until these folks, these pro-abortion people, pro-choice people, are have really gotten city council's ear and the mayor's ear, apparently, to push this forward. So that's a little bit about that situation. It's just kind of very telling, you know, that I guess city council wants to put a damper on what we're doing.
Well, is there going to be any kind of hearings on that, or what's going on there?
Well, from what I'm getting from, so it would ultimately be the Charlotte DOT that places the signs, and I'm trying to get some clarity, and I have been for, you know, a week and a half with Charlotte DOT, who's actually behind this push. I know who is behind the push, but I want to get it from somebody officially. I mean, CMPD has told me that the mayor and that councilwoman, Julie Islet in particular, are behind that push. But I want to get from Charlotte DOT, okay, who makes this decision? What's the process? And I really don't have any clarity on really what the process is to have no parking signs placed. So I'm waiting to hear back from someone from Charlotte DOT today, hopefully.
Well, certainly hope that you'll be able to get some clarity on that. Have you, in reading some of the accounts, the group that is the Cities for Life group and those from various churches that come out to protest or participate with you, you have the microphones, you have the amplification systems. It sounds like you guys, and you can correct me if I'm wrong because I'm reading out of a news article, but it sounds like you guys are pretty aggressive in trying to keep, you know, women from going into the abortion clinic. Is that a fair characterization?
No, I wouldn't say that's a fair characterization. I would say that there are people within this realm of ministry that can maybe be viewed as aggressive. Within Cities for Life, we actually have what we call our code of conduct. So if you're going to be a part of Cities for Life, you've got to sign our code of conduct, which basically says, you know, we're going to act in a way that's going to honor the Lord. Doesn't mean that things aren't going to be said that might, you know, offend people. We're not out there because we want to make everybody smile. Obviously, some of the things that we say are going to be offensive, but we're not aggressive as far as that goes. Like I said, but there are people, there are individuals that come out from time to time that could, you know, maybe be viewed as maybe verbally aggressive, never physically aggressive. That's only happened, that kind of aggression, on the pro-choice side.
Yeah.
Of things.
So, this article that I'm reading, it's at a website, CLCIT.com. It's called Creative Loafing. I'm not sure what that's all about.
Yeah,
it's a lengthy article.
A liberal magazine here in Charlotte.
So it has a lot of the stuff that we've talked about in here. In terms of what you feel like you're able to accomplish, do you actually have success stories that you can point to where women have said, you know what, I'm not going to go in there and kill my baby. I'm going to, you know, listen to what these people have to say and end up, you know, having their child?
Oh, yeah, we have numerous success stories. Matter of fact, if you just go on our Facebook page, just search Charlotte Cities for Life, you'll see, you know, testimony after testimony of women that we've been able to help. And we just last week, I believe we had 11 moms choose life there at the busiest abortion clinic in Charlotte. Mainly is where we see most of the choices for life, but there are two other abortion clinics in Charlotte as well where we're seeing positive results. And, you know, like I said, beyond just a mom saying, yeah, I chose life, we follow up as much as they want us to. Some want to leave that place and never think about even coming there. I don't blame them for that. But some do need help, and they'll stop in the driveway, or they'll come on board the mobile ultrasound unit. We'll get to talk through some of those things. So we've had stories where we've gone as far as, you know, helping these moms with, I don't know, we'll throw a baby shower for them. We'll help them get plugged into a church, try to have their needs met with clothing ministries and things like that. I mean, we've gone as far as we've got financial advisors that have volunteered their time that have sat down with some of these moms and talked through, you know, budgeting and things like that to try to help them get a solid financial foundation. So, you know, we go as far as we can. There are numerous testimonies that we have of moms that have chosen life, and even moms that after they've chosen life, maybe a year later, really feel called to be out there with us. So we've had a few of our moms who've chosen life to come out and stand with us and to speak up for for the lives of the unborn, and just talk to women that are in there, that they were in their shoes, you know, just a year or so ago, going into the clinic.
One of the One of the things that I think is somewhat interesting is that the phrase pro-choice is only applicable if your choice is to have an abortion. The folks on that side don't consider, you know, keeping your baby as a choice.
Yeah, I mean, that does seem to be the case. And when I have an opportunity to have a conversation with them, I actually point that fact out, that it seems like it's just pro-abortion. It seems like there's not a whole lot. And, of course, they turn that around on us and just say that we're pro-birth. We only care about the babies before they're born, and then after they're born, we don't care, which is simply not true. It doesn't bear out in how we act toward these moms that choose life and some of the follow-up that we've been, by God's grace, able to do over the years. But, yeah, it seems like the choice on the pro-choice side is really just pro-abortion, pro-death, and that's what they're behind, and that's what they push.
Well, you might not have an answer to this, but I was thinking before I called to talk with you that people who are pro-abortion, they're really, really rabid about it. I mean, they really, those that are particularly in the business of providing abortions and those who are community leaders that advocate, they really feel like this is something that, you know, they have a right to. And I wonder where that comes from, really, because, you know, obviously for a woman, it's a very personal decision. It can't be easy under any circumstances to go in and, you know, have an invasive procedure where somebody takes a human life out of your womb. But I wonder what it is. Have you ever thought about what it is that makes these people so, I guess they could say, well, why do pro-life people, are they so committed to their cause? But what is it about having the right to kill the unborn that is so, these people are just so determined, you know, to keep that around?
Yeah. Well, I mean, just from my view, I can't obviously speak from that perspective because I don't know, but I have had a lot of conversations with people who you know, claim to be pro-choice, who are really just pro-abortion. And basically it boils down to your worldview. You know, if human beings are not made in God's image, if human beings are just another animal, and an unborn human being is, you know, from all appearances, just a hindrance to a mother, to a woman from their view, not a mother, my view, a mother from their view, just a woman. If this unborn thing inside of her is going to be a hindrance to her living her life at a particular level, then why not get rid of it, you know?
Yeah.
Now, of course, my worldview, it comes from the Bible, that tells me that human beings are made in God's image. Even before we're born, God has purposes and plans for us. So in my view, there's no good reason to take an innocent person's life. And in their view, it's not a person. So what's the big deal? And a woman, after all, needs to have the right to be able to do what she wants to with her body. That's how they would say it. Of course, we would argue that the baby inside of her, though inside of her body, is not her body at all. It's a complete separate entity with a separate calling and purpose from God.
Right. Well, our guest has been Daniel Parks. He is the executive director of Cities for Life in Charlotte. And so what's next? Is it just going to keep doing what you're doing, or waiting to find out about the no parking thing? And what's next on the horizon for Cities for Life?
Okay, well, as far as that goes, you know, I don't get involved too much in the politics. I mean, I do keep my eye out for what's happening in the political realm, but I'm so busy dealing with what we're dealing with at the very front lines of this abortion fight that, you know, I don't get distracted too much with politics, but sometimes it comes knocking at your door. So as far as this city council thing, that's something we're going to have to deal with in sort of a political way. So we actually got several of our folks who live in Charlotte prepared to speak before city council on next Monday, the 27th. So we're going to have some of our folks speaking before city council. City council and the mayor have heard from the pro-choice side for 6 months now. Now we're going to let them hear from our side and just kind of, let them know that we're here and we're going to continue to be here as long as abortions are taking place in our city. And we're going to continue to stand up for the lives of the unborn and speak the truth and love. And we're not just going to let them walk all over us and push into a corner. I mean, we've had anything from, we've been out there for many years without any of these issues, but we've had the police out there almost every day. Wow. Called for just all kinds of silly stuff. We've had the local code enforcement out there to talk about our signage, which there's, the ordinances that were brought out were just ridiculous, didn't apply to us at all. We've had city council talking about this no parking thing, and so they're just trying to hit us from every side, and so we're just going to let them know we're not going away, and we stand firm on our convictions that life begins at conception and that God values life in the womb, and we're going to let them know that, they can't walk all over us.
Yeah, well...
that's what's next for us in that aspect.
Well, we'll certainly be paying close attention and wish you much success in your efforts to deal with the city. We know that a lot of times one of the things that our organization, the Civitas Institute, is concerned about is government overreach, and seems like that happens a lot when it comes to the pro-life side of things, and those that are for abortion tend to be able to find a willing partner in the government to try to shut down, the freedom of speech that those who are pro-life might try to, enjoy. And so it's tough to deal with these things when the government tries to, overstep its bounds and get into these types of things. But we certainly do wish you much success. And thank you very much for being our guest here on What Matters in North Carolina.
Yes, thank you for having me.
All right, sir. Well, Daniel sounds committed to his cause, and most people that take time out of their day to protest at abortion clinics, they are committed. I don't even think I was married at the time, participated in some protesting. If you read the Charlotte Observer and some of the other articles about these guys, I think he was kind of downplaying a little bit. It sounds like they get fairly loud, and maybe that's just the way they're being portrayed by these liberal, people, journalists, so to speak, who are writing about these stories. But, we were very quiet. We didn't say a word. We just stood there, with a sign, God loves you, God loves your baby. And that was it. It wasn't any, rowdy. And yet it was a good experience. I'm glad I did it, because sometimes you got to stand up for what you believe. And Daniel Parks and the folks in Cities for Life are doing that. They get a lot of volunteers. People from a lot of churches in the Charlotte area will come out, maybe do it one weekend or maybe two. But it's a very popular organization, and they're doing a lot of work down there. And did you hear what he said? 11 women, 11 moms decided not to have an abortion last week. That's pretty cool, I think. And I believe that maybe you might think so too. But anyway, thanks for listening today. We appreciate it. And you can always find us, as you know, on Twitter at What Matters NC, and on Facebook at What Matters NC, facebook.com/What Matters NC. We're going to have a nice show for you tomorrow, something completely different than pro-life and pro-choice and abortion and all of that. So you don't want to miss the Wednesday edition of What Matters in North Carolina. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great day.